Listen to the red wolf howl. For many, this sound is frightening, evoking images of awful things that go bump in the night. In reality, the howl of the red wolf is a good sign when you can actually hear it. The best hope for this endangered species is an active breeding program with a little help from science. Tish Gailmart is the wildlife curator at the Chattanooga Nature Center.
We've been part of the Red Wolf Species Survival Plan since 1996. We had a successful breeding pair in 2007. We had a litter of five. We still have two of the male puppies from that litter. The others have gone to different facilities. And then last year we had one breeding pair. This year we have two breeding pair with the hopes of two litters in the spring. So we'll see what happens.
The Chattanooga Nature Center has 350 acres with trails and education centers, including a wildlife wonderland. The area dedicated to the red wolves is an important part of the race to save these endangered animals, but it also provides great opportunities for visitors to enjoy the wolves, combining web cameras and safe habitats that the wolves and humans can both enjoy.
A lot of people have remarked about our facility that it's one of the places you can really see the wolves well. That, of course, is going to depend on the wolf. We can't force them to come out, but we do have a couple that generally are very active. And if you're standing at our wood fence, you're just 4 feet from the front chain link fence, and some of the wolves will come to that front fence, so you can really look them in the eye.
According to Wolf Haven International, the red wolf is one of the most endangered species on the planet. Once freely roaming the American Southeast, human encroachment on their environment, coupled with overhunting in the past, has brought this species to the point of devastation.
We're part of the Red Wolf Species Survival Plan, so these wolves are technically not ours. They belong to the federal program, and every summer we have a meeting, a summit meeting of everything red wolf, and we determine what wolves are going to breed for the next season and then what wolves might be transferred to a different facility for companion reasons. So based on what we determine at that meeting, it's very scientific. We have a computer program that tells us what female red wolf would be best bred with what male red wolf, the whole idea being that we need to diversify the genes because there are only 300 red wolves left in the world. So we've got to be really careful about breeding. Based on that, we create breeding pairs, and then we'll move wolves around to different facilities based on space or based on compatibility, or if we've got a single wolf that, you know, needs a roommate, we'll move wolves.
Is it safe to say then that all the red wolves are in captivity?
No. There is a population of wild red wolves, approximately 100 of them, that live in the Outer Banks area of North Carolina. They cover about 5 counties, and they're on 1.5 million acres. And they're covering 3 different wildlife refuges and then some private land as well. And they're monitored by red wolf biologists. About 85% of them are radio collared, so they're monitored on a daily basis as to what's going on and where they are and who's breeding. And during puppy season, it gets really busy. They go looking for litters, so that's exciting time.
Now, some wolves mate for life. Does a red wolf mate for life?
In the wild, they would, but because we manipulate things a little bit, because we've got to watch our numbers to keep the population steady and growing, typically a captive red wolf is not mating for life because if they're genetically valuable, we want to breed them again, so we'll move them to another male or female for that reason. The wild red wolves, they typically leave them alone, let them breed with whom they choose, but every now and then they'll have to move a wolf for various reasons, and so there's a little bit of manipulation in the breeding of the wild population, but not nearly as much as in the captive.
So basically mate for life means mate for as long as the two of them are in the same area.
Yes, and as long as they remain the alphas of the pack. If they lose their alpha status, they lose breeder status as well. It's just part of the red wolf pack. It's part of how it works.
Life in the redwood pack is great if you're an alpha.
It's not that unlike a gray wolf pack. There are alphas in every pack. There's usually an alpha male and an alpha female, and they typically are the ones to breed. If a beta female or a beta male tries to breed, the alphas will stop that from happening. And in a pack, there are babysitters, their aunts, their uncles. And a lot of people think of a pack as like 40, 50, 60 wolves, but that is not the case. A pack can be a male and a female alpha. It can be last year's puppies and then maybe this year's puppies. And that can be a pack. It can be 4 or 5 wolves. It can be 10 or 12. there is definitely some structure in a wolf pack, and there usually is always an omega at the bottom of the list. He eats last. He does everything last. And if you come out and watch our wolves, you can see a little bit of structure in their pack. And our packs are just, we have two wolves per enclosure. We have three enclosures, two that are on exhibit, one that's off. But you can see a little bit of order.
Do they consider themselves one pack or one pack per enclosure?
There's some interaction going on between our wolves because currently the two male puppies that were born in 07 are in an enclosure by themselves. Their mother, who just recently received a new mate for this breeding season, is in with this new male. So there's some things going on between them because the male puppies have never been separated from their mother. So there's quite a bit of jockeying going on right now. I think it'll settle down after breeding season.
What are the hopes for the future of the Red Wolf program?
Right now, the number goal that we would really like to get to is 550. That means that the population, it's considered fairly stable at that point. So we're continually trying to breed wolves and grow the family tree. The biggest issue right now is space. They're actively looking for a second release site for a wild population. And we're always looking for donations of money to build other enclosures. We have three. You know, it'd be great to have a fourth because that would open up another enclosure for us to bring more wolves in, which would allow us more breeding and to give space for wolves that need to be moved to places. So space is a big problem within the captive population.
And it's not just that the red wolf is a beautiful creature. As a top predator, this animal plays an important role in the balance of nature. Once reintroduced into the wild at the Alligator River Wildlife Refuge, the impact of the red wolf became obvious very quickly.
Sea turtles are endangered. One reason they're population is not growing is because raccoons like to predate on the nests when the nests are buried in the sand and they eat the eggs. Well, when the red wolf came in, he began to prey on the raccoon and the sea turtle population began to grow. So we had an endangered wolf helping an endangered sea turtle.
You can learn more about the red wolf by visiting the Chattanooga Nature Center or by following the links on our blog at wutc.org. For Around and About, this is Rabbit.